This is CliffCentral.com.
Property, I'm trying to invest. Money in by the neighborhood, that's how you rinse it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling, Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. Buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood.
Buy back the hood. We're buying back the hood, the suburbs, all of it, actually, today. When you hear that music, you know it's time for Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala. We're on every Thursday from 12 until 1 on the one and only CliffCentral.com. How is everybody? It's nice to chat to you. Last week, I was chatting to Zoe. I never want to mess up her surname. Chiriseri Ramush. From Remax. My guest is like, yo. And she was the first, actually, the estate agent that we spoke to, that we've talked to on the show. We're officially Decembering. We're 2 weeks away from the end of the year, and we're all a little bit like, we cannot believe we are here and this is happening. The year is over. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that podcast with Zoe, as usual, you can go to cliffcentral.com and catch it, or you can also go to our Facebook page, Living It Up, and get the link, comment, and let us know what you think. Now, what's exciting for me is that today, for the first time on the show, I am talking to an architect. People who know me will know that I have a huge love and a passion for a show called Grand Designs, the UK version, which is hosted by Kevin MacLeod. I've never hidden the fact that one of my favorite architects on the continent is from Ghana, David Ajayi, who has created the Museum of Modern Art in Chicago and is probably one of the most celebrated architects in the world at the moment. So it is quite exciting for me to chat to an architect for the first time. But not only is she an architect, she's a black woman architect. Yes! Welcome, Nompumelelo Ndzuza. How are you?
Thank you, Lerato. I am fabulous and really happy to be here with you today.
I'm excited to be talking to you. I was very clear. I said to Pumi earlier that I have a clear agenda. I want to show that women, black women in particular, we can do absolutely anything, anyhow, in the image that we were born in without having to hide anything. She's looking gorgeous. She's got a fro like my sister. You can go to Teddy's out here taking pictures, so you can go to her Facebook page and see what she looks like. She's got these fancy glasses. In fact, me and her need to do like a picture with our glasses, because even yes, mine are, you know. Mad shout out to Palisa, who always has got me, and the one and only Sia. You can catch him every day with Gary Clare from 6 to 9. Snap, 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 snap. So, you are the MD of your own architectural firm.
Yes, yes, Lerato. It sounds more glamorous than it is sometimes, eh?
No, that's the thing, right? Everybody thinks it's going off on your own. And it's been 7 years now.
Yes, it's been 7 years of grueling ups and downs.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
completely worth it.
Worth it, because it's yours.
Yes.
I think there's nothing as good as staying up late and doing all these other things. And when you know, this is for me, as opposed to Mr. Van der Merwe or Mr. Whoever, actually. Yes. But this is for you.
Yes.
So before we actually get into how you started the business and what motivated you to start the business, let's start with black woman architect. What is the thing that drew you? What is the thing that drew you onto this career?
Look, essentially, it was a mathematical decision initially. I'm an artist. Back in high school, painting, drawing was my thing.
Oh, that's why I feel you then. Because I'm looking at you, I'm like,
I mean, I love the experimenting with different, colors, aspects of artistry. Mm. At the same time, I love my math and science.
Mm.
But I know, I even knew back then that, look, if working on an assignment or math and science for the whole day or a few hours, I get exhausted, I would use my art to actually alleviate my mind.
Yes.
And I wanted something that brought those two things together. Which is very weird. It was only when I actually started studying architecture, I was cleaning out my room and I found a note from my primary school teacher that said, you should consider architecture. Oh, look at that. She called it. So,
can I tell you what's funny about that story? Like, I had goosebumps. Because the reason I decided to be a writer is I was packing away my... I was trying to decide what I was going to do. I was in matric. And I was packing away my books. And I found a note from a teacher from when I was 13 that said, you should think about being a writer. And that's exactly what I did. So you are the first person in my entire life, in almost 40 years, that I have met who has the same story.
But those are teachers that pay attention. They are exactly. So important.
And they're not telling you to go in the normal direction.
Yes.
What they're saying to you is that choose the path less traveled.
And I've identified what it
is
in
that you.
You
will do.
Yes.
So you see it and then you think,
and,
yes.
And that's it. And you go into it. And I mean, if somebody can identify something at that young age, can you imagine now, years later? Obviously, these are your natural talents. That's what I encourage definitely people to go into. If you could discover, or if somebody could help you discover early on the aspects of your skills, your creativity, your abilities early, to hone those and use that in choosing your career.
So now, and we'll go back obviously to that initial moment, but now when you look at that drawing, that before it was a rendering, I think that's what you call it, right?
Yes.
So when you look at it now objectively, what do you think she saw? Like, what was it that gave her the sense of architecture? And not necessarily, you could have done anything. You could have designed clothes
at the time. Actually, it was a model. Yes, it was a model for history in primary school. And the amount of detail I had put into the model, I had built it out of paper mache. I had put all the details, the windows, the frames. I'd painted it. So I'd used different aspects of artistry and creativity to create this one object. So I think she actually saw that the level of detail, which is what you need in architecture. There's a lot of left brain activity that needs to happen there, not just the creative element, which requires you to not make mistakes and have buildings fall.
Which has happened, as we know. Yes. And not just in this country, it's happened in South America as well. So no judgment. Let's just be honest. So I actually want us to just take a little short left. Can you describe for people who are like, hey, what does she mean, left brain, right brain?
Yes.
Because that's an interesting concept that I also, strangely enough, believe in. So when I heard you say it,
we
I was like...
We need to hang out.
Exactly. So when you're left brain, what are you like? And when you're right brain, what are you like?
So when you're right brain, you're far more creative. You know, you're pulled more into shapes of things, colors.
Yes.
You're more interested in, maybe other people might actually undermine, because that side of the brain is actually sort of looked down upon.
Yes, yes.
They might think you're airy fairy or you're a daydreamer. No. Hone that. This person is actually going to possibly become a multi-billionaire through this creativity. Because creativity, you need that. And then you go into the left brainer, where you know the sciences and the maths and the logic of things.
And what I have found there is that people, when you're left brain, think that you have no imagination. You'll see people say that about accountants, etc. One of the things Steve Jobs said when they were designing the Apple as we know it, and the Mac as we know it, was that the practicality has to start from beauty. So it has to start from art itself. And then how do you turn this incredibly beautiful thing into a highly functioning thing?
Precisely.
And that actually being left brain does not mean you have no imagination. And being right brain does not mean you can't be practical.
100%. I mean, I love that you use that as an example. What is one of the reasons that we're so in love with this object, these Macs?
Exactly.
They're beautiful.
Yep.
Let's be honest.
Yep.
Quite a lot of the aspects, it's actually designed for the creative space.
Yes.
The image, when you're looking at it, I mean, they're always telling you about how they've improved the screen.
Yeah.
That's more about beauty than the information.
Exactly.
You know? So I love that we're now starting to question how young people need to actually, or how they need to be honed and how they need to be groomed for their futures. That we're no longer undermining the right brain and understand that these two parts go hand in hand.
And they live they can live together
very happily.
So once you took that decision, I mean, you have an honors and a master's from the University of Pretoria. I mean, you because here's the other thing. People think raw talent is enough, and I'm completely always against the idea that if you've got the natural talent, you don't have to study for it. Studying for something, being trained for something, allows you to be able to sort of zero in on exactly what you want to do. You know what I mean? And how you should do it. And the rules. I always say you can't break the rules if you don't know them. You can only bend them and break them if you know them.
Yes, that is something that I also say. You know, you can, yes, once you've mastered once you've been taught all the different rules, then you can say, okay, so now that I've mastered this, how can I actually create my own set within these rules?
Exactly.
Completely agree with you. Look, in my belief, though, is that, yes, you need to hone in and study what it is that you can, you know, to achieve what you want, rather. Because most spaces are governed. Mm. They're licensed and you need to have the certain qualification. There are other spaces that perhaps you can learn from, you know, that particular space. Farming, for example, if you're actually well connected and get to understand how particular things are done. But there are certain aspects that you might need to study, but maybe someone can teach you, you know, how to actually get the most out of a particular crop, so on and so forth. But I do believe that for specifically, you know, the previously disadvantaged group, that is, we need to take education extremely seriously, because these are the gates that have been built. And for us to enter them, we need to use the rules that have been placed, have been put in place. We didn't choose them, but they're there. If you want to enter the space, play by the rules. Then when you're inside, you can then restructure everything.
Yeah, exactly. Then you can bend the rules to your will, but not before.
No.
So you were still going, and the thing is, you have to remember this conversation. The reason why we start with education as opposed to all the wonderful buildings you've done and your clients and et cetera, is because everybody starts from somewhere. So usually people hear the end. Oh, she's an MD of her, you know, the company's named after you. And people forget that before you did that, there was an entire hard slog, education, learning, working for other people, seeing what kind of company you wanted to build for yourself, because you probably worked for, we've all worked for interesting individuals. yes. Of course, if you're wondering whom I'm talking to Nompumelelo Ndzuzo, who is the MD of her own architectural firm, Ndzuzo Architects. I'm so sorry. We really need to hang out outside of this, because this is something else.
I'm going to censor some of that. I'm like,
yeah, you're like, no, not that. Hold myself back. We are live and direct from Cliff Central from 12 to 1 every Thursday. I know we're Decembering. The 7th of December, we'll have a couple of shows before we close. If you were unable to be live and direct with us, remember, you can download the podcast no matter where you are, whether you are in London or whether you're in Accra. All you have to do is just go to cliffcentral.com. And if you want to see what this woman looks like, you can go to our Facebook page, Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, and see what Mpumi looks like. So, Mpumi, you were saying architecture requires both the left brain and the right brain. So if I'm at home listening now, I'm thinking, okay, I feel like I'm like that. I feel like I can draw. I feel like I could study this. What exactly am I looking for? What are the things that indicate whether this is a career for you?
Okay, so first and foremost, yes, you must have an interest in drawing. You must have an interest in proportions and logic. Basically, besides the design aspect, which is being interested in beautiful things, because we create beautiful spaces, beautiful things. You need to also be interested in a certain level. Like if you're not, you don't do particularly well, or you're not highly interested in mathematics as a whole, geometry should be, if you look at your marks, maybe a stronger than your algebra component.
Okay.
Okay. Not to say now if you do badly in algebra, you cannot be an architect. No. Really look at which part of mathematics do you perform better in? So, first and foremost. Secondly, what you would have to then do is I suggest go and actually visit an architectural office. Mm-hmm. We actually get quite a few students throughout the year. And normally they do it around about grade 10, 11. That's standard 8 and 9, right?
Yeah, but I'm with you. Tina, we're still there. We're still like 800.
Minus 2.
Exactly. it's such a relief to actually hear somebody else who's exactly like me. So 10 and 11, grade 10
yes,
and 11.
Yes, yes. Okay. They contact companies in order to bring out their students. Okay. Sometimes they get students to do it one by one. We accept all the students, show them, they interview us. They either stay for a few hours or the whole day, mm-hmm. Interviewing the different staff members and myself, getting to know what it is we do on a daily basis, seeing the tools we use, being involved in a meeting. We try to make sure that there's a meeting because we schedule it ahead of time.
Right.
So they can really...
get a sense,
a real sense of
what it's like. And if you're listening and you're thinking you want to attend one of these days towards the end of the show, I will get Bumi to give the email address. Unfortunately, at the moment, the website is under construction.
Yes.
But we will give you an email address where you can call. I know a lot of people were getting the matric results on the 4th of Jan in 2018. And so if this is something that is swirling on your mind and you're between grade 10 and 11 or your child is between grade 10 and 11, I think this will be very useful to get in touch with Mpumi. So people come, the students come in and they get to see and learn, and it's quite
extremely important, yeah, because sometimes you Google and you realize that it's a bit airy fairy. You get sold the idea of only the design aspect, and there's a lot of a structure in what we have to do on a day to day basis. But at the same time, there's completely different type of architectural companies.
Okay,
and I try to impress that on the students that come through, that just because you've come to a practice that structures itself like this, you'd also be exposed to an office that's more regiment in their structure and how they do things. You find one that's very fluid, and different companies who work on different architectural typologies, you know, houses, hospitals, whatever, malls, and others that focus only on homes. You really need to get that full exposure, which is what we try to do, so that the students can then really decide if this is for them. Because I don't want to lie to you, in tertiary you will be grilled. And many students fall back after wasting 2 years, 3 years. You need to be committed because you are pushed. It's very standard for us. Lack of sleep. People coming in unwashed, sleeping under desks. It's a standard practice. There's lots of, if you Google architecture, that's a sort of, you know, memes or whatever you'll find. Because of the career itself requires very long hours, a lot of dedication, because as an architect, you are the head of a team. You're the one who actually is the first point of call to involving the engineers, involving the person who will quantify how much this building is. You design the aspects, and everybody else plugs into your dream, what you've dreamt up. So to get all that information down on paper, you need to work hard on it, and you need to work long.
So it sounds like you're in journalism. So come seriously, you sound like
yes.
We do. So I wanted to ask you about the practicalities of, okay, maybe before I ask you what a typical day in your life looks like, can you take us through like the first building you worked on, the first time? Now you've done your thing, you start working. You can mention where you worked. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I'm interested in this first project, maybe not even say building, the first project where you came in, what it was like, because you have now learned the theory of it, and I'm sure you had done some internship and going into firms, but now this is like, now you're employed. What was that first thing like? Did you know about these long hours?
Oh yes, I mean, look, like that's what's fantastic about it. At university or Technicon, you get grilled. You get prepared for your real life. If you feel like, oh, I can't wait until school is over so that I can actually have it easy in good luck. You know, because my dad used to always say this is the beginning of the rest of your life. When I'm busy, oh no, but I need exactly. No, but this is the beginning of the rest of your life.
Somebody asked me yesterday, that says we get emails from you at 10, 11 o'clock at night. Are you not tired?
Well, if you enjoy what you're doing, you get... Yes, you're obviously tired. You're human.
And that's what I said.
But the energy levels are higher when you're doing something that you love.
Exactly. It's a bigger cause.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my first project, the one that I would pops into mind when you ask me that is actually my first paid project.
Okay.
Where a woman took a huge risk on hiring a student to build her house.
Wow.
To design her house, rather.
Okay.
She is a CEO of a mine, first mine actually in Africa, which started from scratch.
Wow.
I was just like, why do you want me to do this? I mean,
how had she found you as a student?
I mean, she had found me. Her son and I became friends.
Oh.
And then he introduced me to the mom. I came up to Johannesburg, the University of Pretoria,
right,
to come and do my postgrad. And her and her husband said, look, we're looking to build a house. And they're very, very, very much about encouraging black entrepreneurial growth.
Mm.
And they said, look, give us a design. Let's see. At that point, we didn't discuss money, opportunity. You know, it was just, I was excited just by you asking me to actually.
Exactly.
Okay. And we put something together and they loved it.
Wow.
And they said, okay, actually, you know what? We're going to move with this. They gave us an architect who would obviously back us up, because at the end of the day, the drawings have to be signed off. At the time, I was a student. To give us her home. Her home, which was just under 30 million rand. Do you understand? I couldn't believe that somebody could put that risk or take such a risk on a little black girl. I mean,
yeah, I see that also as a huge sign of faith.
I was,
you know what I mean? It's a risk, but it's also faith. Yes. You know what they say, fortune favors the brave, you know? So what had you seen the house before? Did she tell you what you wanted?
Yes.
What was the inspiration?
Well, look, you first and foremost, you need to understand the client. You need to spend time with the clients.
Mm.
Understand their lifestyle, understand their interests. I mean, they're well-traveled. Understand what they've seen and have enjoyed. They had bought a property that they wanted to demolish the existing house and build themselves a house that had particular views that encompassed their dreams. They'd worked very hard to get to where they were, and they wanted something that they would retire in that home.
Mm.
So it's spending time with them. It's doing collages with them, getting them to actually show you what it is they like. And putting that together into a design. That design will get hammered molded into a final product of what it is they actually believe. Yes, this is the style. This is the layouts. This is how we live.
So then from then onwards, do you have to find the contractor, the engineers? So how does it work?
It depends on the particular project now, later on in life. Mm. You know, obviously, when you run your own firm, many times architects are the principals of a project. So if you get employed as a principal, you'd hire the rest of the team members under you or manage them.
Okay.
If not, the client would employ all of you separately.
Okay.
And you would just, at the end of the day, an architect, you'd always have to coordinate all the other.
So that first project, the client was the one who...
In this case, no.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I mean, look, at that point, what they wanted was the design.
Okay.
So they gave me the responsibility for the design aspect. They understood that the risk of, obviously, they have to look at that. They understood the risk of allowing me to design something. I'm not allowed to submit it. This is what I was talking about, that industries are governed.
Mm.
I was not allowed to submit for approval because I'm a student. I'm not a qualified architect.
Right.
So they made sure to get that aspect. So I took on the first three stages. Our stages are divided into six.
Okay.
They used to be five. And they gave us the first three stages, which is really the design aspect. And then they gave the next architect the last stages, which is the site aspect.
Okay.
Yeah, the submissions and site supervision aspect.
So that the six stages are standard?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. So it's gazetted, it's governed. This is how you will put any building up. These are the stages you will follow.
Okay. I'm still talking to Nompumelelo Ndzuza, because I'm calling him Pumi. Nompumelelo Ndzuza, who is the MD of Ndzuza Architecture. She owns her own architectural firm. She's got that hashtag Black Girl Magic. You can get this podcast on clipcentral.com. We're live and direct every Thursday from 12 until 1. But of course, you don't have to listen live to get it. You can get links from our Facebook page, which is Living It Up, or you can go to clipcentral.com itself. So, Mpumi, you were saying that once you had this experience, obviously then you...
It boosted my confidence.
You were just like, yes.
Yes, no, definitely. Look, at the same time, I loved that... I don't know whether she identified it or she actually groomed it further, the entrepreneurial component.
Mm.
Because once you've tasted... you know, your own income, you know, your own ability,
yes.
you know, to make your own. and you know, really looked at the ratio of input, joy to get exactly your design. When you're working in an office under somebody else, remember you get... somebody else tells you how to do many things, you know, and you get disappointed at some of the things that get left out.
Yeah, because even if you're right, they don't care.
No,
their mind,
no,
it's their business.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So if you don't have an office that allows that freedom, you will feel stifled. Mm. I mean, I'm lucky in that moving forward, I actually had quite good mentors.
Okay.
But what happened is that I had to work to get mentorship and to get my sign off to write my exam to become a professional architect. But because I had tasted the freedom, the complete freedom, and the money.
Yes. Let us not forget the cash.
You know, I knew that, look, I'm picking up the additional skills I need in mm-hmm. order to have the even higher levels of confidence to run my own company.
Mm.
That's one thing that actually I believe is an issue, is that many of us are not given the opportunity to run projects or to design work all the way from the top all the way to the bottom,
yes.
to give us the confidence to believe that we could do it ourselves.
Mm.
That is that taste that I had at the beginning. It helped me a lot in saying, I'm in my 20s, I'm leaving.
Mm.
I'm leaving.
So how long did you work for before you made this decision, like, I am leaving?
We went full on by ourselves in 2013,
mm-hmm.
but I was working since 2010 under Shabango Architects. At our interview, he asked me, anything else that you know you'd like to tell us? Yes, I've got a registered company and I would like to carry on. Is that going to be a problem? No, not at all. I was shocked.
Wow.
I mean, we're extremely controlled in our industry.
Mm.
And you know, they always have that clause in your contract.
Mm.
Yes. But obviously, I was no competition. This company allowed me to actually run my own practice while actually being employed, while grooming me, while mentoring
me. I mean, kudos to them. That is amazing.
Even today, I mean, we still work together. We try and tender together and so on and so forth.
That's amazing.
How
old were you?
I was, when I left, I'm now 34.
Jeez.
So I joined them.
I mean, that is like, I'm almost 4 years older than you. I cannot believe.
But I was
at that age. You were just like, I am doing it. I don't care.
I'm quite a risk taker. Mm. I've been given that character.
Yeah.
And back then it was very clear. I said, look, I want to one day have my own family or my own child and whatnot. How am I going to do that if I'm going to say I'm going to do it later on? I'm going to do it now.
Say it loud.
Yes. I'm going to take all the risks while I'm one man.
Mm.
And then later on, I can actually be in a position to, you know.
Run your time.
Yes.
Run your life.
That's
run
it.
Your own schedule.
That's it.
So when you start your own company, like, I don't want to scare people, but I want you to give us a real practical idea of what it is like, because obviously you have to find projects, you have to tender, and you are, you know, competing with people who have been. And I don't know whether what we haven't asked is your company, is there a particular kind of, I think you called it a typology, buildings that you work on? I know some people like commercial buildings, some people like residential buildings. What kind of architecture are you guys into for those people who don't know?
I do not want to structure the business currently into one particular
yeah.
typology. We're too small and too hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
We need and we do work on all typologies.
Okay.
We have a very clear plan as to how we're going to structure it into typologies. We grow our management internally, make sure our guys write their exams, become professionals, hone their particular love for a particular typology so they can run a part of the company the way that they believe, but within the belief that I already have.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So eventually, as time goes, you'll find Nzuza Architects that is in Pretoria that specializes more in malls and commercial projects. Mm. You'll find one in Mpumalanga that focuses a little bit more on housing or luxury homes.
Yes.
That will happen because I do not want to stifle my staff's interests. I want to actually hone them and actually get those to actually, for them to love what they do.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's the power of being a generalist.
Yes.
I think part of being a generalist is the ability to move into any space. People say to me, what's your beat as a writer? And I say, I've been a health writer. I have written about travel. I've written about all kinds of things, and I want to do that.
Yes.
For the exact same reason.
Yes.
I don't want to decide. I don't want to put myself in a box.
No. Yeah. And because also the character, there are people who, you know, unlike us, who would prefer one type.
Yes, of course. And there's nothing wrong with that either.
And that's fantastic, yes. Mm. Because that's their particular love and skill.
Yeah.
But for myself, I know that I would get bored.
Yeah.
I must be honest.
Exactly.
Just doing one type.
Exactly.
So, yeah, Nzuza Architects is about versatility and ensuring that the people who actually build the company, the staff is the company, that their interests are expressed and felt.
Mm.
Because they're the ones who are going to grow this business into my vision.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And is 20% of it still in East London? Or
yes.
Have you...
Okay. Well, we're still talking in Durban as well.
Okay.
And we're now partnering, as you were saying, with regards to companies maybe that we might work with. We now have actually, we don't compete. Sorry, you're saying compete with.
Yes, yes.
We don't necessarily focus on competition. Yes, obviously, you're a company, you're going to compete. We focus on partnerships.
Okay.
And I believe that's what this governing BE component is talking about.
Mm.
What it's talking about, where people fight it to, I don't know why they fight it so much, actually. It's saying work together to achieve more.
Don't you think it's important in this country,
yes.
in a country like ours, collaboration?
Yes.
Particularly because there's so many, 80% of this population was not a part of the economy, was deliberately excluded.
100%.
So if you open the door, you've got to, you know, you've got to let other people in and collaborate with them. There's enough seats at the table for all of us.
There is always enough, especially when you're looking at people who are hungry.
Mm.
They'll make sure. You know, people get worried that if we let these guys in, they're going to maybe work for, you know, they're going to get a share of what we've built. No, you should be looking at it as this person is hungry to actually get in.
Exactly.
This person is going to grow your company. They're going to push
exactly.
harder than the people who've become complacent and have gotten used to having it easy.
Exactly. Exactly.
So those are the partnerships that we grow.
Yeah.
Those are the, we approach, we identify, we are not scared to say, listen, hi, we are Nzuza Architects. We are looking for partnerships. We do not know how to put a R1 billion project together. Could you please partner with you in some component so that you can teach us?
Yes, yes.
And obviously, remember, we will work, if somebody's asking you to teach them, we will work 10 times harder than your staff that has been building this thing for the last
exactly,
200 years.
Exactly, because it's a skills transfer for you.
Exactly.
So it makes sense for you to be fully involved. How many people work with you? I don't believe anybody works for anybody, but
yes.
How many people are on your team?
In the Johannesburg office, there's five.
Or just in general? Okay, so five,
yes,
in Dover.
Yes, there's five. And then in East London, we're working with two guys and the rest is contractors.
Ah, great.
So in order to keep your overheads in line, it's the best route.
Yeah.
Everybody that works within the business, they started off, okay, not everybody, most of them start off as contractors. As the projects get clinched, we offer them to come onto the business. That's the plan, that you grow the business.
Mm.
10 years, 20 years, you can tell a story as to what your contribution was
exactly.
to getting it where it is. And your commitment levels are far higher. You know,
exactly.
we shouldn't be greedy. what we should do is actually look at growth and what it is we're trying to achieve long term.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You're still tuned into Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala. We're on live and direct on Clip Central every Thursday from 12 until 1. You can download the podcast whether you're listening live or not on clipcentral.com and actually get the links and comment. This as Mpumi and I say, stop, goodbye at 1 o'clock. You'll be able to listen to this podcast and download it and share it with your friends and let us know what you think. Now, for a lot of people, if I'm going to be honest, think that architecture is for the rich. So to hire an architect, you know, you need to be making sort of, you know, six-figure salaries. I mean, having money obviously helps, because like anything else, if you want something done professionally, you have to pay for it. If you want to cut corners, if it's poor and the building's falling, you know why? Because you didn't want to spend the money. But what you said something so important about the fact that architects are the people who, as buildings stand, even the structure that we're in now was built by somebody. Mm. What do you want this building to do? Mm. Is essentially what architects ask people.
Yes.
So what do you say to people who are like, but I can get a builder?
I say, do not do it. Be careful about that. Get an architect on board. Mm. Look, I understand that people are trying to sometimes save costs. But you will see the results of your saving by paying 10 times more later on, trying to fix things that had you actually gone to an architect up front, you know, you would not have these problems.
Yep.
And architects are not extremely expensive. Mm. Our gazette or our financial, fee structure.
Mm.
Starts from like 600,000 rand project, you know, of 0 to 600,000 rand, the bracket, all the way down to whatever, you know, yes, infinite amount.
Yeah, exactly. 120 you million know, if yes, you want. Yes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So look, sit down with your architect, discuss how you could structure the fees so that at least the important aspects of the buildings are designed correctly. You can then actually get your architect to come in to supervise on site to actually make sure things are built the way they had designed it.
Mm.
It's important, because I have seen this before. I've seen people calling me later on when a building is now up and they didn't, I quoted them, but they didn't take me on board or take somebody else on board. Now I need to go and fix a problem, which is actually more expensive. I'm not going to now charge.
Of course.
Remember, we take on the responsibility. As soon as you hire me, I take on the responsibility from the design aspect.
Mm.
So I'm going to charge you more. I'm going to charge you a premium to actually take that responsibility on my professional insurance. Mm. So please, I do ask that people employ professionals up front. And if you've got a cost issue, talk about it, see how you could structure it so that at least you don't have a problem tomorrow.
And how do I know if my architect is legit? How do I know if, you know, you just walk in and you say, oh no, you know, you speak fancy and you say to me, yes, I've designed this building.
No, we got
how
it.
Do I know? Last week when we had and the state agent, she was very clear to us about the fact that they have to renew the certificates every year to obviously legitimize that they are running properly, and that if a person says they're an estate agent and they've not been endorsed by the EAAB, then yes. Forget about it.
Yes.
Is there something like this for me as a customer wanting to procure your services?
100%. So we're governed by the South African Council of Architectural Professionals, SARCAB in abbreviation. So it would be www.sarcab.gov.za. And you would search for a professional. You would put in their name and surname, or if you've got their professional number, you would put in the professional number, and it would then inform you if that person is still registered and in good standing.
Hmm.
And that's the beginning of your relationship at that point that you move on. Look, there are chances. It's not just everything. There's chances everywhere.
Exactly.
So
we are in Africa after all.
We must try. Sometimes, you know, somebody is wanting to charge a higher rate as well. I mean, the qualifications, we've got split qualifications within the industry. We've got drafts people, we've got technologists, and we've got architects.
Okay.
Those are all the architectural professionals.
Okay.
SARCAB is the one that actually registers all of us.
Okay.
So it's important that you check that, and it will assist also in obviously negotiating your rates, it will the training we got, we have different training that maybe focuses on different aspects of architecture as well, for the type of project that you're looking for.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to talk before we get to a wrap up. Can you believe how quickly this hour goes? Like now you're just like, oh my gosh, we have like 15 minutes. Okay. So I wanted to talk about the fun aspects of architecture. But before we get there, I often hear architects talk about the vernacular language of a building. And a lot of people go, I thought Venek was Sotho. And what people don't understand is vernacular is whatever the indigenous language of the place is. It's not in South Africa only. Italian is vernacular. But anyway, we're splitting hairs now. I just want to make it clear because people think that vernacular are black languages.
100%.
Vernacular are languages of the indigenous origin. The origins.
Yes.
So when you talk about a vernacular language of a building, what does that mean in a practical sense? What are architects saying?
Look, at that point, you're looking for the building to speak.
Okay.
So you might then say that we like to call it a typology at the end as well, maybe in its style.
Okay.
Right? You might want to build something in an area that is highly Lesotho. The people are the regional context is Sotho people who have high beliefs in a particular patterns or color schemes or clothing. You would collect that information, and just like any artist or music, even in the same way that you would find a tapestry made, and you could see that this is of the vendor people.
Yes.
You would incorporate those aspects or symbolic aspects and those the way that the people of that area live.
Yep.
So if you were to look at a certain group that maybe lives back to the outside more than on the to the inside, or they enter a house in a particular way. Maybe the women enter from a particular entrance and the men enter from a particular entrance. You would design the building to accommodate that.
Oh, I see.
If a shape, if the original is the huts are a domed form, you would incorporate those shapes and those colors into that architecture.
Mm.
But it's just a touch. I mean, at the end of the day, you're still looking for this thing to be built per se, maybe from bricks and mortar, or you're looking for it to be brick from concrete. So it has to be something that will still fall in line with the modern day, if that's what the client is looking for. But they will say to you, perhaps they are strongly looking for their own culture, their vernacular architecture to be represented in their home, maybe.
Oh, I see.
And then you would research that, you would understand what it is that this particular client is about, and you would present it.
So is there personally for you, I'm not asking on behalf of your company, which obviously is your company, but you as a human being, because the company, obviously, as you said, you have to incorporate other people's tastes, but is there a particular look or feel or language or typology that you just love?
Clean lines.
Okay.
I enjoy open spaces, light, the feeling of being outside. So if you can say modernism or minimalism, but without the cold connotations that sometimes...
Yes, because that's the problem, that's what, when people hear minimalism, they think like a table and...
Glass.
Yes.
And
stock,
steel. And,
yes.
And I believe in warmth. Mm. You know, if you're looking at that image that you've got when I say minimalism, if you could add a touch of a pastel yellow on the wall with huge green leafy plants in the space, and large openings that open out to beautiful sceneries of a garden and water, and you found a wooden woven chair and a tapestry carpets or cushions.
Yes.
That's my style.
You see, I love that. My friend Ntawi Ntabukubong, who's been on the show, is an interior designer, one of the best actually that we've got in the country. And she often says that your house needs to have the elements of nature and everything that you counted. You know, wood, green, water. You know, she was talking about all those things and how they're important to the language and the feeling of the building.
Yes, it's extremely important.
Yeah,
you're working with those aspects. I mean, is extremely important when you're going to be doing working on a building. The interior and the landscape. do not divorce those. With what we get trained on, we get trained on the three. Which University of Pretoria is the one university that actually has all three.
Okay.
And even at doing the undergrad, you trained in all three.
Okay.
And then later on, you specialize. And you, I then decided to obviously go into...
So what did you say the three are?
It's landscape, okay, architecture, interior architecture, and architecture.
Okay.
The structure.
Ah.
During the undergrad years, the 3 years, you do everything. Okay. So that you can actually decide by the time you get to honors what it is that you're going to specialize
in. I see. So is there a building in the world that you just like, you are envious, you think, man, I wish I would have, you know, designed this building?
I do not believe in the... Look, at the end of the day, you named David earlier on, and he is... I'm proud. Look, yeah. The first time I heard him speak was years ago at Design Indaba in Cape Town. Mm. And then after that, you know, just following his career, I was so impressed by what it is that he's achieved as a black man.
Yeah. Which from Africa, which we're very appreciative of as Africans.
We are. But my issue with regards to one particular building, there's always something that I wish could be tweaked or changed.
Yes.
Or maybe it's not, there's an aspect I enjoy, but I don't enjoy another.
Mm.
I don't have maybe one particular building that I would say is it for me.
Mm.
Probably because the sort of architect I am, or the sort of even person I am, I see things from the above. I see things. I don't go into one particular thing. If you look at even the architecture I enjoy, I enjoy every type of architecture.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I find fascinating about you, is that you go into the interior, the exterior, go into the outside of the building. I love it because it means that you're designing houses or spaces for people to actually utilize, to be in. What people forget is that a space, whether it's a commercial space, a residential space, human beings are going to be in that space. And human beings have to be able to live in the space. It can't just look beautiful. It's not a model, you know. It must
present them.
Exactly.
You're designing, like, this beautiful jacket that you've got on. When you saw it, like you said, you know, you said have to have it.
Yeah.
Somebody else would have walked in and said, no, I too can't much. I can't.
Yeah.
But your personality, you know, and it works on you because of your personality shines through it.
So kind.
You need to design a building for the person.
For the person, yes. Yeah. And not, I say the same thing about writers. We don't write for ourselves, or else we wouldn't be published. You know what I mean? You'd have a diary.
Yes.
You write for others so that others can consume it. I'm still talking to Nompumelelo Ntosi. I can't believe we have like 7 minutes. Oh my God, there's so much I still want to ask you. And I'm like, please extend the time. Okay, no, we won't extend the time, but we will hang out.
Please.
Once we're done here. I also wanted to ask you about a typical day in your life.
Mm.
Okay, first of all, quite early on, you made it clear that there isn't such a thing. But what would be a typical day in inverted commas of in your life as an MD and an architect?
It's waking up early, very early, because you need to prepare, especially for, I think, a smaller business. I think a business my company size, it's important for me to prepare. You remember when you're getting into the office, you have a team who, once we work as a team, we're very family orientated.
Yes.
We work off each other's juices and what do you think? So remember, as the person who's actually managing and directing, once I get into the hotspot of that office, once I walk in the door,
one after the other. Yeah, you're answering queries back and forth. Yeah.
So one of the first things I do is I get up early. It's either I try to go into the office, but if not, then I'll do it at home. And then I'll get into the office knowing that I've got the right energies. I've got knowing exactly what it is and who wants what, so that when we go in, we start running. I've got a group of young people who are
amazing.
They are amazing. They are energetic. They are curious. So we need to be at the same level. I can't be, I'm so sleepy.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's one of the most important things.
Oh, you and I have such similar lives. Mm.
I love it though.
Yeah, me too.
You need to be ready for it as well, so when it hits you. And then after that is really having an organized day. There's lots of meetings. You go to sites. So you'll meet MDs and CEOs from companies that you're designing this building for, the decision makers, government sector, people who have got lots of expectations of you and want you to answer the questions precisely. So you need to prepare for that as well, or what it is I'm meeting. To, you know, go through your team, because you may not know all the details of a project. You need to actually be informed about, okay, so where are we right now? You need to be on top of every single,
because you are doing top line. Yes. You are top line. Yes. Even and though you're not the minutia, but you do need to know about the little things.
You definitely need to. You cannot be in a position where you're being asked a question and so while you are actually within the space of designing, which I still love to do, I enjoy still being involved in the design aspect of my buildings, because I find that by being involved in the design aspect, I actually am more informed about the buildings automatically.
Exactly.
And then it's meetings and being on site. Essentially working late again, you know.
So you wake up early and you sleep late.
Yes.
Oh, I know that life.
Yes. Okay. But I love it.
Yeah.
That's the main
same.
Thing. Yeah,
we share that. So when we started off the interview, and if you just tuned in, where have you been? Because we're about to sign out. I'm talking to Nompumelelo Ndzuza, who is the MD of Ndzuza Architects. I will be giving out her details shortly. You spoke about the kind of person that needs to that this career fits. You need to love drawing, you need to love proportions, and you need to love logic. But what are the three tips you can give somebody? I mean, you give us three indicators of the kind of person that you need to be an architect. But what are the three tips that you want to give somebody who wants to get into this career? Like, if there's any, if like three things that people must walk away with from today's show, what are those things? What are the tips that you want to give them?
I do believe in, first and foremost, research the career thoroughly, which involves, I do really, really encourage that you visit an architectural firm. Then secondly, which comes from, this is actually the sequence at which I suggest you move.
Yeah.
At that point, become, take that company as your mentor company.
Yeah.
Have a relationship with them so that when you go to school to go and study architecture, which is the third step, that company is holding your hand. You can have someone to actually crit your work, someone to actually give you input. I find that the best performers, because we're involved with a lot of students, we train students, two students per semester at the company we bring on, we find that their performance is much higher, because when they leave us in that 6 months, they still, we make sure that they continue to actually come back. When you have a submission, we sit on a Friday, we sit, put up your work, we'll crit you and we'll give you input and feedback. Not that you're going to go to class and be present without having that feedback. I find that many students do not get afraid, and they don't have the confidence, so they shy away from going to studio where most students do work. You know, they do it in their rooms by themselves, and by the time they're presenting, there are so many holes in the work that they have not been able to give input and polish.
Exactly.
That they falter. Make sure that you've got a company that can give you attention and time.
Yep. Definitely. And now you said you do take on students. And just before we wrap up, I wanted to find out from you if you could give us details. People who are listening who want to get in touch with you, whether for mentorship reasons or just to be part of your student training program. What email address can they reach you in? Please make sure that it's one where you don't mind getting spammed.
Yes. The email address they could send to is info@Ndzuza. Nzuza architects.co.za. So that's info@nzuzaarchitects.co.za.
So I know that sometimes we are spelling challenged, so I'm going to spell architects. It's plural of architects, right? It's A-A-R-C-H.
No, do it. I have to do it normally on the phone too.
Yeah, because I feel... I feel terrible for not having to, you know, explain this to people, because I'm just like, you know, people are going to be like, mm-mm, what are you?
What, don't. I think there's many people saying, yes, you know, I'm not sure how to spell that.
Exactly, exactly. So it's ARCHITECTURES. Okay, so one more time, that is info@nzuzaarchitects.co.za. I have been chatting to the one and only Nompumelelo Nzuza, who is the MD of this wonderful company. So if you are looking for an architect, she's the woman to go to. We are live and direct from 12 to 1. My name is Lerato Shabla. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Really, I hope that one day I can point to a building and say, Nzuzu Architects made that for me.
Yes.
So hopefully, we bless the millions and the multi-millions, and hopefully the billions that shall come soon for you and for me, yes. Right? Guys, like I said, we'll have one or two more shows before we wrap up for the year. And when we come back next year, I'm going to be doing so much more than property. I'm going to be doing travel, food, wine, all these wonderful things, fashion. It's going to be all these things you know me for as a magazine editor. Remember, you can follow the show on Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala, or me personally at Lerato TJ on Instagram and on Twitter. And go to cliffcentral.com to download this podcast and more from the series. Thank you so much, and have a great day, everybody. Bye.
Property,
I'm trying to invest. Money in by the neighborhood, that's how you rinse it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling, Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. Buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood. Buy back the hood.
This is CliffCentral.com.